Today, we are wrapping up our summer sermon series, Extraordinary Summer, Marked by Christ's Love. We've been exploring together in worship and Sunday school the stories of Jesus in the book of Mark, miracles, parables, healings, rejections, crowds of people, and the search for a quiet place to rest. Last week, Chris reminded us of the importance of finding shalom, a peace in the middle of all life brings, not just attempting to separate from it. Jesus is in the thick of life. He's dining with disciples and strangers, preaching to crowds wherever he goes, and traveling by boat and by foot, the same passages that so many others went back and forth upon each day. We know that Jesus was anything but ordinary, and yet here he was, a Palestinian Jewish man, son of a carpenter, who ate and slept alongside everyone else. There's a comfort in this acknowledgement. Jesus lived into his full humanity, making his miracles and prophetic teachings all the more impactful because he understood. In our scripture for today, Jesus and the disciples were walking along when the disciples got hungry. So they started picking some heads of grain to eat, something which was legal to do. The problem was that it was on the Sabbath. So the Pharisees called them out as working on the holy day. Now, this isn't the only time that Jesus turns Sabbath expectations on its head. At other times, he performs healings on the Sabbath. Jesus regularly challenges the religious leaders' rules about how things should be in order to look out for people's best interests. Jesus tells the Pharisees, the Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. In other words, we must follow the spirit of the law instead of just the letter of the law. God wants human flourishing, and the restrictions that are written in Scripture are to help people care for themselves and their community better. For Jesus, people being fed and healed and cared for outweighs a legalistic vision of proper action. As we're not a first comments, there is no true violation of Sabbath if one's actions meet essential needs of oneself or others. So there seem to be two important questions that come up from this scripture. First, what is Sabbath and why is it important? And second, how are rules used to support or to harm faithful living? Sabbath is one of those mysterious church words that we know what it is and how to talk about it, but the practice remains a bit difficult to put into action. Does Sabbath have to be on Sunday? Does it mean to go to church or not doing our career work that day, but yard work is okay? What about other activities? Soccer games and playdates certainly don't count as work, but sometimes do they feel like it a bit? What we know is this. The Sabbath was made for humankind to promote rest and renewal so that we are better equipped to connect both with one another and with God. Now, this is a helpful perspective as I try to discern my own Sabbath. As you see, I love naps. And when I say naps, I don't mean those little like 10 to 15 minute spurts. I mean like a full on fall asleep several hours long nap. Who can blame me, right? Growing up, Sundays always had a ritual. We would go to church in Sunday school, and my dad would pick up Sunday lunch on the way home. We would change into play clothes, ate around the dining room table, and then we were told that it was nap time and not to speak to our parents until they got up. Now, I still practice this Sunday ritual when I am able to, and my Sunday naps feel like sacred space to me. It's the one time that I can lay down without an alarm set, putting emails and chores to the side for a bit of sweet, quiet time. Sometimes anxiousness still creeps up on me. This time, after all, could be used so much more productively. I could be weeding the garden or washing clothes or meal prepping for the week. And yet, every time I think about the things that I could be doing instead, I am reminded, I genuinely love my nap. It makes me feel settled and grounded and rested, and it's the time of my week when there are no other demands on my time. I think this is what Sabbath is supposed to feel like, a time when the pressure valve is released and we can sink into something with deep gratitude, whatever that something is. For me, it's my alarmless nap. For you, it might be working in the garden or taking a walk or sipping a cup of tea on your porch. Finding a bit of small, unscheduled time in the midst of our busy schedules feels like a gift. First notes, humans emulate their creator and therefore rest and worship God. This view of God and humanity sounds as if everyone must take a break from exhaustion, but the idea of rest is more akin to blessing. We raise our eyes from never-ending work to drink in the restfulness of the created world. I think this is a beautiful reminder. We do not take Sabbath to take a break from our already exhausted lives. We take Sabbath, hopefully, so that we won't get exhausted in the first place. And instead, we take a moment to stop and wonder and just be present in this God-given sacred space that was intentionally given for our care. Sabbath, especially in Jesus' day, had transformed from this life-giving act into a law to follow, losing its meaning for the sake of following rules. In many senses, the religious laws were enforced not for people's well-being, but for the sake of the status quo. As Jill Duffield comments, the Pharisees do not care, not really, about keeping the Sabbath. They care about keeping their privilege. They make their choice that day whom they will serve, and they will serve themselves. In short, they choose death to sustain their own worldly lifestyle. This is why Jesus asks in Mark 3:4, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? To save life or to kill? It is not Jesus and the disciples who were breaking the spirit of God's law, but the Pharisees in their refusal to meet basic human needs. Jesus reclaims the Sabbath and reiterates its intentions, a time rooted in rest for all, regardless of status. In this, he does not abolish the Sabbath, but instead fulfills the meaning of the law as intended to protect and not harm. I think this helps us today as we seek to understand the role that Sabbath plays in our life, as well as faithful living in general. I mention often in sermons that we won't always get it right, but that our goal is to show up and try. And that's true. But maybe also we need to recognize that there isn't always a specific right to follow to begin with. What's right for me in how I follow the Sabbath is different than what's right for you. How I connect to God in prayer is different than how you pray and feel God's presence. We worship here in a traditional service with this beautiful organ music, and others worship in more contemporary style. There is no one-size-fits-all faith. Jesus was trying to help those around him understand this. For the religious leaders, it was changing their ideas about what it meant to follow biblical law. For his followers, it was altering their idea of what kind of king and Messiah he was going to be. For us today, Christ is at work amongst us, reminding us that he is with us always. We are being called upon to witness his presence and let go of the pressure of how to be a good Christian or churchgoer, and instead to focus on being in relationship with Christ. Sabbath is our opportunity to pause and pay attention. Mary Ann McKibben Dana writes in her book and blog, Sabbath in the Suburbs, about a concept that she calls living Sabbathly. She notes, over time, Sabbath has become a state of mind for our family, not just a space on the calendar. This means we can do our work in the manner of Sabbath, mindfully and with gratitude. We can go about our errands with greater awareness and attention to ourselves and the people around us. This idea of living Sabbathly helps us to see God in the ordinary moments of life. Christ is at work in our midst, revealing the beauty of the world in each step and breath we take. What seems very ordinary, sleeping, eating, walking, taking a nap, sitting in the shade of a tree, are glimpses of the abundant life that God shares with us each day. In making space for rest and slowing down, we are able to better recognize these gifts. God wants us to take care of ourselves and has created a world in which we are all capable of being nurtured and living well if we are willing to accept these gifts and share this abundance with one another. Christ takes ordinary objects like fish and loaves and tables and dirt paths, bread and wine, and uses them to feed both body and spirit. Jesus's miracles and teachings are notable because they take the lives of average, common people and remind us that we are each worthy of love. God is up to extraordinary things in our world. Are we willing to take the time to slow down and see them? May we raise our eyes to witness God's everyday blessings and live in gratitude to an extraordinary God who marks us with Christ's love and grace.